Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside. Final hour tonight of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Live from the TireRack.com studios.
You know, I almost brought in some champagne today.
You did, really?
I almost did.
Drinking on the air is never...
Well, I thought at 10:55 and change that we'd be okay.
Yeah.
And then we'd be driving, so that wouldn't be good either.
No, I think that's a...
It's a lose for everybody.
That's an L all the way around.
I was just going to try to celebrate a day where the Bears didn't overthink things.
Yeah.
I don't think they had any prayer councils before Caleb Williams went out there. And your Jets are the Jets.
You think if Caleb Williams, they should have had him go up there and actually read off the plans for the new stadium?
I think,
would that have gone better?
Will you all help me be the best I can be by funding the extra $2.3 billion for this stadium?
And here it is. And he's got the big, he unfolds a piece of paper. This is what our stadium's going to look like. We just need money for it. We just need cash.
Start passing the hat. Take a picture with me, $100.
Now, outside of the top two, there's a definitive quarterback pick I like the most out of all of them. But let's deal with Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels here for a second. Now, this was no secret.
No.
We knew for a long time Caleb Williams was going number one overall, and we knew for a good amount of time Jaden Daniels was going number two. And what really cements, and I know that there's going to be the inevitable Caleb Williams backlash and all the Prince stuff this week.
If you're going to get called Prince, I mean, why don't you talk, compare him to somebody who sucks.
Tonight.
Who is eccentric and that nobody liked.
You're a star, and I'm the Big Dipper. Usually, when you see a shiny new toy like Jaden Daniels, right, this shows you how good the league thinks Caleb Williams is, and everybody knows Caleb Williams is. For all the people who are going to pick apart at him, the next 24 hours is going to be really difficult for him. Usually when that happens, there's some kind of discussion or debate and the teams take it serious that, hey, maybe this shiny new toy
is the number one overall pick, right? Because Caleb Williams didn't have the year Jaden Daniels did, right? He had a year that was filled with controversy, right? Whether people wanted to get upset about how he painted his nails or I'm hugging my mom after a game, whatever it was. It was not a good year for Caleb Williams as it was for Jaden Daniels. The guy is insane. He was a stat machine. He's Heisman Trophy. Usually a guy like that eats into the number one presumed overall pick, and there's at least a debate. Who do you take number one overall? I remember when it was Andrew Luck and RG3, it was, boy, Andrew Luck is great, but wow, RG3. And it was, sure. Who are we taking number one? And it was a big debate, and it was talked about, and there was a lot of research that went on, and teams went back and forth. I don't know with this guy. But this tells you how good Caleb Williams is that as good as Jaden Daniels is, there was never a debate that he was going to go ahead of Caleb Williams. There was never, hey, who would you rather have, right? And I know the opening of the draft tonight on ESPN, I forget it was, saying, I'm going to go the other way and I'm going to take Jaden Daniels because I want people to tell me I'm an idiot on social media. But there was no real ever, and I forget who it was. It's Lewis, I don't know who, I don't want to say who it was. But it was somebody said, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say take Jaden Daniels number one overall. Okay, fine. There was never any serious debate or questions from anyone that the Bears should pick anyone but Caleb Williams at number one. The only debate was, is Caleb Williams really want to play? Is he really upset about playing there? Is he not? What signals is he sending? Well, that was the only thing that was up in the air. But there was never, from anyone, from any analysts, from any insiders, that, yeah, this is a guy you should look into taking Jaden Daniels ahead of Caleb Williams. Just if you didn't know anything about the guys and you watch the highlight packages from these two guys tonight, you see, yes, Jaden Daniels is a terrific player, throws great from the pocket, right? Then Mel Kiper talked about how accurate he was from the pocket. Jaden, I love Jaden Daniels. He's a phenomenal player. But you see some of the throws that Caleb Williams makes, some of the plays he makes, how he sees the field, and it's like, there's Jaden Daniels, and then this is a guy operating at a different level. And for the Bears to not overthink it is great. Look, it seems like the easiest thing in the world to take a guy number one overall, but just ask Sonny Weaver Jr., who traded for the pick, traded away from the pick, he traded second-round picks, got his picks back. It's not the easiest thing to do when you have so much time and you're being told, this guy likes this, this guy might like this, what about this guy? Look how good this guy is. But you just see that, you know, the difference between Caleb, the difference between Williams and Daniels and May and the other quarterbacks, we talked about that a few minutes ago, there's a huge level. Like, it was those three and then it was the next three. But the difference between Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels is absolutely huge.
Well, you go through the process, and obviously we had the extra year of Caleb Williams in the spotlight. Right? Already had a monster season and was coming back again, and obviously many things went wrong for USC this year when you talk about how porous and just deplorable the defense was, and his coach did him no favors, right? When post-game press conferences after losses become optional, who's going to lose off that? Not Lincoln Riley. No, it becomes a question of Caleb Williams. And fair to ask, but you kind of had it answered over the last month, certainly with a lot of the chatter. Once Justin Fields got traded, it kind of solidified that. And you watched Williams at the combine and being there for his teammates. You saw even tonight, right, taking pictures with the fans in Detroit, finding the Bears fans, and his excitement for Odunze being drafted. All of those things you lean into. But heading into this draft process, There was nothing except some noise all outside and usually squashed pretty early. What dad's demanding, what people around him, what I'm hearing, does he want to be in Chicago? And then retractions within 24 hours. I mean, look, we'll call it what it is. It was across all networks where you had some of that. It's like, I don't know about this guy here. And look, in Chicago, you're going to have a certain faction of the fans that will immediately go to the fingernail paint and everything else as soon as he throws his first interception or makes his first bad decision. And the Prince concept, you know, you can joke about it in a million ways. I think it just comes to the fact that you don't really know this guy as well as you think you do, and that's good. It's not a guy living necessarily in social media, except when he finally clapped back. It's like, all right, yes, adversity. Here's what it means, and here's what my year looked like. Did you not watch any of it? You saw me battle with this squad this last year. So with Daniels, you didn't have that extra year to pick apart, right? Even with the transfer or whatever else, he wasn't the guy at the top of the heat. So Caleb Williams has already been dissected every which way till Sunday. right? And with Jaden Daniels, he got it in the last 2 weeks. Was he unhappy when there were three other guys there, his agent and what he had to say? Didn't seem like Drake May was ever in the same category. It's the, here's one, here's two, and then we, you know, take that deep step off. And not quite the Bill Belichick analysis of Drake May right before the pick was made where he eviscerated him.
Yeah, yeah, sort of not a fan, but okay.
No, not a fan. Yeah. Hey, the Patriots are going to pick him though, right? kind of thing. But yeah, that drop off. But yeah, Jaden Daniels, we'll probably get a little more of that dissection from the media out there questioning those same things. Does he want to be here? Does he want like this team? Does he want to be around these guys?
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the TireRack.com studios. So if that just shows you just the difference between Williams and Jaden Daniels, of the rest of the quarterbacks taken, right, outside the top two, because clearly those are the two guys I want, the pick I like the most, and I like the match, and this is the guy I would take out of the other four quarterbacks, was Bo Nix. And I kind of liked that Bo Nix was kind of falling through the first round a little bit, so I could say, Bo is falling and nobody knows why, like just like it's drafted.
Did he run out of the room? Yeah. Could he have done that for us once just for giggles and have his agent chase him? Hey, did you see that?
I need you to get back in there. Although, Draft Day is kind of a tough movie to be showing on TV now, considering what's going on with Puff Daddy. Like, yeah.
No, that's
really,
true.
Can you show that on TV anymore? Yeah, you take her. But just.
Well, we can do it like they do the pictures in my hallway back at my old high school. They black the guy out. There's a problem.
X him out when something happens.
Either that or, I mean, with AI, we could put a new agent in there.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, sure. Okay.
We could replace him really fast.
Just have a little bit. You know, Jonah from Veep comes in and says, you're not going to believe what's happening now. Hey, everybody's scared off of Bo. No one knows why Bo is falling through the first round. Bo Nix to the Broncos is perfect. For the longest leading up to the draft, when I was looking at who fits where, I read a lot of Bo Nix to the Broncos. But, you know, that could have been a smokescreen. Because when you're picking that low, that smokescreen time, it's okay. Do they really like Bo Nix? Do they not? Sometimes it's real. Sometimes it isn't. Mm-hmm. And you could tell, obviously, that love was there. And for him to get picked there is not only do I like Bo Nix and his skill set, but I love that he's now with a quarterback-friendly coach. And there may be no more quarterback-friendly coach outside of Andy Reid in the NFL in the last 20 years than Sean Payton, mm-hmm. which, again, tells you about Russell Wilson. But, you know, Mel Kiper was talking about Bo Nix, and he kind of compared him to Drew Brees a little bit. So, you know, Brees' arm strength a little bit here, a little bit that. Now, I don't think Bo Nix can be Drew Brees, but could he be a Drew Brees light? Yeah, he can. Because, you know, Bo Nix, you know, he's got a lot of big strengths, and I like what he does, and I like it more than some of the other guys. You know, I like that he's accurate. He's got a good arm. It's not a great arm. He runs the offense well. He's solid. He may be a guy that the first few games of his NFL career are a little rough, but then he sort of gets it, and he turns into a pretty good quarterback. Now, is he going to be a big franchise fantasy 35 touchdown a year guy? No, probably not. But will he be a good enough quarterback? Mm-hmm. Can he make enough plays with his arm? Yeah. You saw it did at Oregon. And this kid's come really far, because when he was at Auburn, I said, wow, he went from being one of the big quarterbacks of the future to he's not even going to start there. Right. Then he goes to transfers to Oregon, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's a match made in heaven for me. Right? So it tells you about guys they transfer at quarterback in college that, hey, sometimes, you know, if they look really bad, doesn't mean they're bad. But this match of him there in Denver, where they had just spent so much money on Russell Wilson, it didn't work. They're starting over. Denver is absolutely the bottom of the barrel. They've already moved on from a couple of guys. Bo Nix is going to have time to grow into this role. It's not going to be we're throwing you in and expecting you to compete right away and win. It's, hey, you're going to get in. You're going to get a lot of the reps. Maybe you don't start right away. Maybe it's Jarrett Stidham for a little while, and then we get to maybe Zach Wilson starts. But eventually you're going to be the guy. You're going to play a lot this year because first-round picks have to play, and he's going to get time to grow into the role. And it may be a little bit of time, and Sean Payton's going to, I don't know how many times he's going to say, trust me, trust me, trust me, but you know he signed off on that pick 150%. So all that Bo Nix love, you know, Sean Payton said, I can win with that guy. If he's there, let's get him. I can win with him.
Yeah, I think he fits in a million ways. You talk about the Brees comparisons. I've done some Sunday shows with Jeff Schwartz, obviously a proud Oregon Duck, talking about it and his breakdowns. And, you know, one of the things we talked about a couple of weeks ago was the idea that Nix was kind of a dink and dunk, you know, just short intermediate passing attack without much of the arm strength an aptitude to get it down and fit it into spots. And there's plenty of evidence to the contrary. And you have a guy like Sean Payton who's going to take out some of those hitches in your decision-making, right? It's going to get sped up, and we've seen it, right? In small sample sizes and not to the same degree of Breeze. I mean, that would be foolhardy. And yes, it has been a while since he's won. But you talk about a rejuvenation. You bring a guy in that had the accolades that he did. You have a good wide receiving group. You haven't gotten rid of Sutton yet. That's still one of those things to watch for day two. They say they're not going to. But you've got a decent receiving core there. And you know offensively, even in its worst terms with Russell Wilson, they still put some points up on the board when things clicked. Once they got right, once they got the timing right. And yes, again, it shows how much they really wanted to get rid of Russell Wilson.
I mean, everything. Are we ever going to do a story where it doesn't? We can't look back and say, and this shows you how much they really wanted to get rid of Russell Wilson.
But to reset it, it's like, all right, we'll take on the dead cap. We'll do all this other stuff. Just get it out of the building. So you want this 30 for 30. You want the documentary. What the hell else did they find? Right? We know about the office. We know about, you know, kind of being separate from the team. All of this. What else is there? That it was that bad.
Did you see D'Angelo Russell tonight? Didn't score against the Nuggets. Does Denver have that kind of performance if Russell Wilson is still the quarterback of the Broncos? No, I think you can credit getting rid of him with what the Nuggets did to the Lakers tonight.
Their ability in second half adjustments all ties back to the abdication.
That's how bad they had to get rid of
Russell Wilson and his contract. They just needed to,
Michael Malone saying, we would have never beat up 3-0 against the Lakers if we still had Russell Wilson on the Broncos.
Our guys would be thinking about it a lot.
No, would not.
It would
have
really weigh down on them in the playoffs if they were still wondering who was shepherding our beloved Broncos this coming season.
Exit out by DeFresca, exit Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, we get into the two biggest what-the-hell moments of the night in the NFL draft. Keep it right here. Jason and Mike, this is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon, live from the TireRack.com studios. First round of the NFL draft, maybe the most surprising thing, the Jets make a good trade.
Shock and awe.
I mean, really. Jets move down one to let the Vikings come up and get J.J. McCarthy. The Jets get their lineman they wanted all along, and they get a fourth and a fifth round pick. It was a good trade.
It's kind of mad because it was tracking, right? I do my one-man half-ass dart-throwing mock draft, no trades, just play it straight. And then I had two sets of offensive linemen that I just had reversed. Your Jets with the Saints, and then obviously 5-7 up at the top. Where we look at Latham and Alt. Mm. So I was like, damn, I would have looked really smart.
Two of the biggest what-the-hell moments from the draft tonight. And the first one was one everybody just said, whoa, about. Falcons get on the clock at number 8, and I'm sitting here going, okay, this is where things get interesting. Because I told you last couple nights, the Bears and or the Jets are going to trade out of their spot, and someone's going to trade up for a quarterback. You're welcome. I'm an NFL insider. The Jets straight out, Vikings straight up for a quarterback. But then the Falcons come to the podium, and they surprise the entire world with this pick.
Atlanta's pick is in. Roger Goodell walking to the podium with pick number 8 here in Detroit.
Are we going to get our first defensive player?
With the 8th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington.
Wow.
Yes.
The biggest shocker so far.
NFL Network, you heard the one person go, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. That might have been Penix Jr. That might have been him. Look, there's so many reasons why this was just stupid. And we talked a lot about them in the first hour of the show. But you want a different angle on why it was just dumb to make this pick. And this has nothing to do with what I think about Michael Penix Jr. as a pro, what kind of player he can be, is that, yes, you're trying to win now. You gave Kirk Cousins $160 million. Okay, you want a guy in the first round that can fill one of your holes because, again, trying to win now because Kirk Cousins is 35, 36 years old. It doesn't make sense to take a quarterback there. I get that you want to emulate what the Packers did with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love because, boy, look how it worked. They got two great years, MVP years out of Rodgers, and Jordan Love was a great player now. Like, they think that's going to automatically happen because I'm going to follow the same formula. But it's just dumb to do that because no matter what happens, you have set back the franchise. Let's just say for a second, Michael Penix Jr. outplays Kirk Cousins. Well, that something happens, Cousins gets hurt, whatever it is, Penix Jr. comes in. Now you got all this money you're paying Kirk Cousins for what? Right? So you're screwed because now you can't make your team better because you got Cousins do all this money for the next few years. Okay, let's just say Cousins plays well. All right, great. If he plays really well in a couple of years, you're going to want to re-sign him because he's going to be 38, and if he's still really good, you're going to want to keep him, right? Basically, what you've done is force a decision on Cousins or Penix in 3 years, and the decision has to be Penix no matter what because you drafted the guy in the first round, and you got to see that guy play, right? So now that's another reason why that was stupid. But here's the last one. Let's say things go that well, and Cousins plays really well. Okay, great. If you are the Falcons, you're getting to the end of Penix's contract as a rookie, and you only have another year until you have to decide whether you want to pick up the option on him or not. So you're stuck. So Penix has to be good. He has to see the field at some point. Cousins has to be good too, because that's the only way this works. And if both of them are good, it doesn't work because one of them is sitting while the other one is playing, right? Unless they have some kind of newfangled, Raheem Morris has some kind of crazy system where they're both going to be on the field at the same time, don't know who's going to get the snap, who's going to throw the football, don't know where it is, unless something
like that.
That's
what Pro Football Focus decided today. Who's beating this tandem?
And it's just insane. And don't give me the, well, you need two quarterbacks is what if the guy gets hurt. Kirk Cousins just got hurt last year. You know what? If that was the case, you wouldn't have given him $160 million then. You would have said, hey, if the guy's getting hurt, we're going to draft a guy and sign somebody else. You gave him all that money.
Well, it was Arthur Blank and his group and band of merrymen realizing, you know, we really screwed up when we said we didn't want to give Lamar Jackson all that money. Mm. So let's kick that can down the road. I'm another year older and we're watching this flounder. Well, there is that. You want to sing the full song?
No, I just like that line.
That's a good line. But the idea being with him rehabbing the injury, all of that, you're saying the division's there to win, and you don't want a backup quarterback situation to be the thing that takes you down. You just watched it with the Jets.
It's why you signed Tyrod Taylor. It's why you signed Gardner Minshew. That's what you do at the backup quarterback position.
I get that. And then you looked at this, but the pick went down, I should say, as soon as Penix gets selected, I sat back in my chair and went, that's genius. If all of these people are legitimately trying to trade up, because out of those three guys, I mean, we like the fit with Knicks, but you kind of like the upside, right? The athleticism of Penix, again, injury history, age, all that stuff factored in, but going, this guy can come in and maybe play, you know, that game against Michigan notwithstanding.
So if you're worried about an injury history with Kirk Cousins, you draft a guy that's got an injury history with Michael Penix.
No.
Got it.
But he's not hurt now.
You're playing chess while I'm playing checkers,
buddy. But as I was sitting there, the original thought was, all right, which team do they think may want to come and get him? Right, because Seattle, we talked about fringe, but they had already brought in Sam Howell. I don't know what Sam Howell is to them in Seattle. You got him, you got Geno. Mm-hmm. And then still talking about, this is obviously before the Denver pick and before Minnesota makes the move to go get J.J. McCarthy. That maybe you decided there was some other squad and there was another trade potentially in the offer. Maybe the Raiders still wanted in on that. I don't know.
Oh, hey, that trade we wanted? Yeah, no, we're not doing it.
But at
Wait, we took the guy at least for a minute. Sorry.
It's like, not that you're guaranteed that that was the deal, but did you see anybody talking about this as a possibility? No. Cousins, no. His agent, everybody else just left with their picking their jaws up off the floor to this one. And I agree. It's I can't defend it. But look, I can't defend it. Except for reason. if for some reason Cousins' leg isn't ready, that money's spent.
Yeah.
And you're basically buying an insurance with a low cost, so dollar cost averaging between the high price veteran and the rookie salary.
Here's another reason why it's stupid.
Oh, okay, good.
Another reason why it's stupid. Yeah. Because obviously, as we said, they're using the Packers model of Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, and it worked out because Aaron Rodgers had two MVP seasons, then talked his way out, and Jordan Love came in, had an okay season, then he was great, and now, okay, he's a superstar quarterback, right? So it worked out. This is why the Falcons are thinking it worked out. Just think about this for a second, why this is bad. Because what's the difference between Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins? Aaron Rodgers is a way better quarterback than Kirk Cousins, much more decorated career, wins a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers is a bigger winner than Kirk Cousins is. So the difference between Cousins and Rodgers, Rodgers is further up on the ladder. Okay? Let's just say it's a big ladder of quarterbacks where everybody is, okay? So here's Cousins, who's probably about two-thirds of the way up the ladder, right? Okay. Aaron Rodgers is at the top of the ladder. Like, maybe not in the very top one or two, but he's maybe 5 feet from the top. Cousins is closer to the middle. Michael Penix Jr., coming in as the 9th overall pick after a much ballyhooed college football career where we saw the guy do amazing things as long as he was given time to throw the football. Hey, he comes in much closer to the middle of that ladder than Jordan Love, who was a project who the Packers reached up for, where it's easier to say, hey, this guy's going to be our quarterback of the future. He's going to sit for a while. We're not going to play him. He needs to learn. And there was much less pressure to see him get in the game. So Rodgers is 5 feet from the top of the ladder, and Jordan Love is much closer to the bottom. You have Penix and Cousins who are much closer to each other. So this battle of one guy needing to play over the other, how hard is that going to be to navigate? When Kirk Cousins has a bad stretch of three games, we got to see Michael Penix Jr. Why? Because he was drafted 9th overall. This wasn't a guy that's drafted end of the first round, early in the second round, 9th overall, in the top 10. These guys play right away. So now you have a quarterback derby every single week. You have a quarterback question every single week. And now Kirk Cousins, who's already a little upset, says, now I feel like I gotta go in and play for my job. Now, sometimes that's okay, and quarterbacks respond to that, but other quarterbacks need to know they're the guy and they're self-motivated. We're gonna find out what Kirk Cousins is, because now you have made this a mess. You have made this a mess, and you've made it a talking point and a story every single day because you decided we're gonna be the smartest people in the room. We're gonna think in a vacuum and say, we have Cousins for 3 years, then we got Michael Penix now. I don't want to worry about a quarterback. I don't want to worry about a quarterback for the next few years. Like Arthur Blank, we know he was upset. He doesn't like to do coaching searches, right? He likes to have a team and throw it out there, right? Matt Ryan was a quarterback forever, even a couple of years past his expiration date. So now, hey, you know what? Now I'm not worried about looking for a quarterback anymore. That's off my plate. No, you really screwed the team and where it sits right now because you have an upset quarterback. You have upset players who are saying, why don't we take a guy to help us win now? Because we're winning now because you signed a 36-year-old quarterback, and you gave him $40 million a year. What are we doing? What's the best thing? Are we trying to win, or do we need to get Michael Penix Jr. on the field? What are we trying to do? That's why I can't find anything positive about this selection of Michael Penix to the Atlanta Falcons.
Maybe this will spur Kirk Cousins up that ladder that your client, you know, you were doing. It was appropriate because we're seeing all the images of Eminem and his appearance at the draft and announcing an album and all that. Because you were doing the whole 8 mile ladder thing with your hand up here, down here, he's over there, and how can I be the man when you're the man and all that stuff. That for Kirk Cousins, maybe it's a nice kick in the ass.
The guy's been pretty good. The guy's been pretty self-made. The guy got paid from the Vikings. He was pretty good.
And maybe Arthur Blank just went full on, I'm all in.
He went what Jerry thought he could do
and said, I'm all in, and I'm making sure our quarterback room is ready.
Kirk Cousins wants to fill that Harry Potter room under the stairs with as many trophies as he can. He is self-motivated.
Well, he's got...
Let me show you my cool trophy room.
And then all of a sudden,
the secret room in my house.
All these letters start flowing in. That's my fan mail. That's how it gets delivered. No post on Sunday.
If he took me in to see that room in his house, the first thing I would do is make a phone call going, okay, I'm going into a secret room in Kirk Cousins' house. If something happens to me,
Wi-Fi's probably going to cut off.
I'm in here. I just let you know where I am, okay?
You're snapping pictures as you go in. Here was the last place my foot stepped down. But legitimately, you look at offensively, they've got weaponry. They brought in Mooney. You bring in Rondale Moore. You already had Drake London, Kyle Pitts. Everybody keeps waiting for him to be a superstar. And remember, Bijan Robinson didn't take a lot of hits last year. He should be absolutely fresh off the debacle of a coaching job that they did a year ago. And you still have Tyler Allgeier there. So offensively, you're good to go. And you're in a division that you can go win. So I'll defend it to this point. You're an 82-year-old man saying, I want to make sure that Captain Kirk's leg ain't the thing that takes us down.
But you've created a problem, and you've also hurt the team. Because what would you rather have? What again, as I said last hour,
again,
of
you
all
and
the Falcons
I,
blogs, yeah. of all the Falcons mock drafts when it was...
Hey, they're getting after him right now on the message boards right now.
What's the biggest need the Falcons have? None of those mock drafts, whether it's an expert or a kid in his basement, nobody said quarterback.
No, it was all edge rusher. It was all defense.
You
absolutely.
There were edge rushers there. You
100%.
Could have had any defensive player in the draft you wanted at that point.
They were all there waiting
all there.
For you.
There were no
up,
other defensive players
lined up
taken.
Getting pissed in the green room. Some of the most uncomfortable video ever.
Yeah.
That wasn't sullen. That was, I want to punch this camera because I know it's on me now.
You could have helped your team now by getting a franchise player at a different position, and you didn't do it because you said, hey, let's take care of a future that may never get here. That most of the guys on this team are going to be on other teams when Michael Penix Jr. is ready to take a
snap. You just argued against saving for retirement. Why am I saving for a future that may never come? I may drop tomorrow. Why do I need that when I'm 85?
Exit, how about a Fresca? Exit Swollen. I can't find one reason why. I'm not saying I'm looking forward to the person tomorrow who makes the biggest headline where people say you're an idiot by saying, I like what they did. I really like this move.
Belichick.
I was taking two quarterbacks.
If I'd been there.
I wouldn't have done that. Boy, that was stupid. That was like ridiculous.
Did they let the soccer guy make that pick?
You know what? That reminded me of a movie. What movie, Bill? Dumb and Dumber. That was I wouldn't have done that. Boy, that's the guy they hired over me. Really? They made that decision. That's the guy that got the job. I interviewed there twice and they didn't like me. They liked this guy. They made that decision at quarterback. Well, screw them. To hell with them. Yeah. Good luck, everybody. Good luck with Lloyd. And what was the other guy's name? Lloyd. What was he? Dumb and Dumber. Lloyd and Frank. No. Lloyd, what was the other one's name? Was him? I don't remember.
One of you guys?
No.
Anybody?
No.
Anybody a Dumb and Dumber fan?
No.
It's been probably 20 years since I've seen it.
I mean, that's the guy. That's what they did there. They didn't hire me so they could do this, really. But right now, time to head to a guy.
Yeah.
Who was always our number one pick in
no
the NFL draft.
No question about it.
No matter where it was, we would have traded up to get him, and we did. Give up a lot. Give up a couple of pizzas.
Yep.
Oh.
A couple 2 liters of Diet Coke.
Diet Coke.
Now but in return, we get Steve DeSager, who has what's trending.
Lloyd and Harry, apparently.
Harry. Oh, I couldn't think of that.
By the way, it was Bill Belichick, commentator, who mentioned that Drake May has made a lot of comparisons of himself to Josh Allen. Quote, we'll see about that.
The quarterback or the defensive end? Which Josh Allen? Which one?
Yeah, maybe by the time he finishes his career, it will be the defensive end. Well, we will get to a lot of NFL draft coverage in a moment. 7 wide receivers taken in the first round tonight. That ties a record set 20 years ago. We had 23 offensive players. That is easily topping the previous high. But the Lakers' season is upon us. They're down 3 games to none to Denver after the Nuggets come back 112-105. Lakers yet again with a double-digit lead and do not win. From Stats Inc., the NBA went to all best-of-7 series in the postseason about 20 years ago. First round and on, they're all best-of-7. Since then, there have been 90 different instances of a team getting a double-digit lead in each of their first 3 games of a series. The Lakers are the only one to be down 0-3 in the series after double-digit lead. in each of the first
record-setting season.
Michael Malone said after the game, my favorite quote was when he said, hey, you know, so much for the pregame speech where I say, hey, let's get on them in the first quarter, have a lead at halftime. No, we're just going to kind of ease our way into the game and then sort of make it better in the second half.
So Anthony Davis had 33 points, 15 rebounds, and loses again. Game four this weekend in L.A. Denver's beaten the Lakers 11 straight times, including the sweep in last year's West Finals. Game one, Denver was down 12 first half, won by about 12. Game two, down 20 in the third quarter and won at the buzzer. Denver was down 8-0 after 2 minutes tonight, trailed the entire first half. Nuggets 112-105, the final. D'Angelo Russell, 0 of 7 shooting from the floor, scoreless in 24 minutes. Lakers as a team from three-point range, including the makes in the last couple of minutes, 5 of 27 from long distance. Philadelphia's on the board in its first-round best of 7. Knicks 2-1 now after Philly beat them 125-114. Joel Embiid, 50 points. Jalen Brunson in the loss, 39 points, 13 assists. And Orlando handed Cleveland its worst loss in franchise history in the postseason. And Orlando led by 43 in the fourth quarter. Final score 121-83. Paolo Banchero of the Magic, 31 points, 14 rebounds. The Cavs' lead in the series is 2-1. NHL playoffs, 2 games. Florida's up 3-0 after winning at Tampa Bay 5-3. And 2 seed in the East, Carolina leads 3-0 after winning at the Islanders 3-2. The late game in MLB went to Oakland 3-1 over the Yankees. Alex Wood over Nestor Cortez. The game in Kansas City was just 5 innings due to rain. Royals beat Toronto 2-1. Dodgers and Yoshinobu Yamamoto getting the win. Got a victory at Washington 2-1. Seattle and Colorado with wins today. Now to the NFL draft. 6 quarterbacks taken in the top 12, led by the Bears selecting USC's Caleb Williams. Then Washington took LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels. Then 3 overall, New England selected Drake May from North Carolina. Ohio State's Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver to Arizona at 4. And the Chargers did not trade down at 5. They took offensive tackle from Notre Dame Joe Alt. By the way, wide receiver Malik Nabers, LSU, went to the Giants at 6. And wide receiver from Washington, Roma Dunze, went to the Chicago Bears at 9.
Where was Jim Nabers selected?
Golly, I don't see him on the list.
You going to sing a couple of songs like Jim Nabers? He was a hell of a crooner back in the day.
Back home in Indiana. The Indianapolis Colts took the first defensive player on the list tonight. In fact, the first 14 were all offensive players, and then the Colts at 15 overall took UCLA edge rusher Latu. And we had plenty more wide receivers, 7 total, as mentioned earlier, taken, including the last 2. Rounds 2 and 3 are tomorrow night, Saturday, rounds 4 through 7. Back to you.
Thank you, Steve-O. Coming up next, what team has decided, well, with what we're doing in the first round of the draft, we're going to screw every other team in the NFL. That's next. Jason and Mike, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. You know, I'm a live and let live kind of guy.
You are.
If you want to screw your life up, okay, don't screw mine up. Right? I mean, that's kind of who
okay,
I am.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, you screw your life up.
Just leave me out of it.
Probably not the right thing to do.
Collateral damage.
But that's okay.
Sure.
But then the Buffalo Bills entered the draft tonight.
Yeah.
And said, hey, you know, we really have some holes on our team, and we're really just giving away the back half of Josh Allen's Super Bowl window because we need wide receivers. But no. We're going to trade twice and trade out of the first round entirely. Well, okay. Well, you're screwing yourself, but all right. Hey, the Bills need a wide receiver more than anything else, right? No Stephon Diggs. Their best weapon right now is probably hoping that Dalton Kincaid continues his ascension as a really good tight end.
Your key wide receiver is Khalil Shakir.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck. Good luck.
And clearly, solid number
TJ,
3.
For Shakir, the stats don't lie. He's not that great.
Yeah.
So if you're going to screw yourself, that's fine. All right, that's fine. Whatever. Sorry, I can't do it.
Self-sabotage. I'll sit back and watch and eat my popcorn.
And I know already how upset Bills fans are because the number one trending topic on Twitter right now is Bills Mafia waiting because they have a hastily scheduled late-night press conference to explain why they traded out of the first round. But okay. You're screwing yourself. That's okay. No, but now you're stepping on my toes. You're screwing me. They're screwing you. They're screwing the Chargers. They're screwing the Steelers. They're screwing the Ravens. They're screwing the Eagles. They're screwing everybody because the Bills decide, oh, they trade up in the first round with the Chiefs.
32nd up to 28.
So the Chiefs can come up to 28 to take Xavier Worthy, who is a pretty good wide receiver out of Texas. He's fast. I know all of a sudden everybody thinks, oh, they got a guy. It's going to be Tyreek Hill again. Okay, now maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. I'm makes me nervous because you get really good wide receivers through the first two, three rounds of the draft. All those guys mm-hmm. that go can all be really good. Nobody comes more NFL ready now than wide receivers out of college. So I have no doubt that Xavier Worthy is going to be pretty good. Yeah, you can say, well, it's like the other guys. Maybe not, but maybe he's better. We thought Quentin Johnson was going to be great last year, and he wasn't. Turns out Josh Downs, who was drafted way later, was better.
Well,
so
he might need another year, might need two.
Three, four, you never know.
I don't know. I mean, we used to have the third-year thing that we used to talk about in fantasy.
Sure.
When it took guys a long time to get there. Maybe for Johnston, that's it. He wasn't used to the velocity.
I got to hold him on my Dynasty Fantasy team for 3 years.
I think you might have to.
So I understand that. But now you trade with the Chiefs, mm-hmm. and the Chiefs come up and take a guy that now, if you broke down the Chiefs' wide receiver room, you would say, this is the best the room has been since the days of when they had Tyreek Hill, going back 3 years now.
Okay.
Because now you have Xavier Worthy, you signed Hollywood Brown, maybe Rashee Rice figures out, it's probably going to be some kind of suspension from the NFL, but maybe it's not going to be a big one. So you now have the best wide receiver room you had, and the Bills helped the Chiefs get there. How do you help the Super Bowl champions get better, especially if it's a team that's knocked you out of the playoffs the two of the last 3 years in a horrible, heartbreaking fashion? You make them better? I mean, the only team that should be trading with the Chiefs is bottom feeder teams in the NFC, because they could say, look, it's not our conference and we're so far from them, we just have to worry about getting ourselves better. If we can get an extra draft pick or two, we have to do that. But this team that's trying to get to the Super Bowl decides, we're going to help make the Chiefs better. On general principle, that was stupid and shouldn't have been done. I don't understand what the Bills are doing. And now you see why everybody is so mad, and everybody on social media is like, where's the press conference? Where's the Brandon Bean press conference? Where is it? He's explaining why they traded with the Chiefs. What is going on here?
Yeah, I think that's one of the great metal stand moments. And it came at the end of the draft. You know, you and I are getting ready to come on air, and Jay Glazer, LeVar Arrington, Rob Stone, Steve Kahn finishing up in their analysis. And you tweeted it out, right? It's, you know, being asked, what was it, the ex-girlfriend's...
If my ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend asked me to give him a ride to the airport, I'm not giving him a ride to the airport. Why would I help him out? Get to the airport yourself.
Well, that's kind of it. You know, you've vanquished me from the playoffs. You've taken a couple of years of Josh Allen's peak mm-hmm. and tossed them asunder. Now, Stephon Diggs dropping the ball on that deep pass, he didn't do any favors to anything, and he's not there anymore.
That's why you need wide receivers.
But
what do I know?
Well, you know. But, yeah, helping the Chiefs reconfigure that room that seemed to be a problem, right? Remember all the drops, all the problems. Ah, here's another guy. If nothing else,
hey, you need
the safety's got to go with him.
Need some help with that room? I'll help you do that. Hey, we'll help. I'll help you make that room better. Hey, just let me know. I'll trade up with you. That's great.
Well,
we'll do
you
it.
Know what? When we win, it means we navigated a harder path. I think that's what the Bills are trying to
say. You think Brandon Bean's going to get a Super Bowl ring if the Chiefs win?
He might.
He gets that ring. Hey, I got
that
ring.
Not only did he trade there, he traded out of the first round because he went beyond the Panthers, too.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Buffalo Bills.
He screwed you.
Ben Maller's next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle.
So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action, and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.